good afternoon. This is Michele Floriani, and I am talking today with Dr. Harry Greenspun, who is the director of Deloitte Center for Health Solutions, and also our recent keynote speaker at an advisory council we had here at Sequoia. And I have the pleasure of catching up with Harry the day after, and he's at home. And so, Harry, thank you for spending some time with us today.
Oh, terrific. I enjoyed the meeting and happy to talk again.
Cool. Thank you. Well, it was a terrific talk, and you really kind of opened up, I think, a lot of people's eyes to where the future of healthcare is going in this era of reform that we're in right now. And I'd love maybe start a little bit, just talking a little bit about what you do for a living and as your passion in terms of healthcare reform and the data that you sit on and observe every day, so people have a little bit of understanding of that. And then let's get into some of the topics that you reviewed at the session.
Sure. So as you mentioned, I'm a physician, and I lead the Deloitte Center for Health Solutions, which is our research arm. So we study things like health policy, and we survey physicians, we survey employers, we look at M&A, we look at lots of issues facing healthcare, and publish this research. You know, one of the biggest areas, I think one thing we talked a lot about at the meeting, is this transition in our payment system from paying for the volume of work that gets done to the value of the care that's delivered. So value being not just quality over cost, but things like outcomes and safety and service relative to the cost that, you know, that employers and others and individuals pay for their health care.
That's great. And so as you look, and you've been able to look at trends and policies and the way that healthcare is developing for some time now, right? You were chief medical officer at Northrop Grumman, at Perot Systems, also at Dell through that acquisition, and now at Deloitte. What are the big trends that you're seeing? So the shift to value is one. What's feeding it underneath?
Well, you know, obviously, the unsustainability of our healthcare system is feeding it. We see, employers are paying more and more for healthcare and feeling like they're getting less and less. Costs are being shifted to individuals, you know, whether it's through a greater share of their healthcare premium or through higher deductible plans. And, you know, many individuals think they're not getting the value out of their healthcare dollar. And at the same time, interestingly, healthcare providers are seeing their margins getting squeezed. So it's sort of like everyone needs a new game, right? So part of the problem we've had in the past is that in a volume-based system, the incentives aren't really aligned among payers and providers and individuals. As you move toward value, you begin to align incentives, and where providers are providing the best possible care and doing the right amount of data sharing and care coordination, consumers are being engaged in a meaningful way, and everyone's using data in a better way. And I think what all this leads to is a really exciting opportunity for innovation in healthcare, both in how care is delivered and also some of the underlying technologies to make it happen.
As a consumer in the space, I think all of that sounds good. So give me an example. Like, what's your, maybe, and it could be kind of like a forward-looking example of a scenario that you think could be different as the kind of force of the shift to value kicks in and people start adjusting.
You know, probably the best example is, you know, we have these terrific systems in place. So if you have a heart attack or a stroke, we have centers of excellence set up to take care of you the moment that happens. But what we haven't established are programs to take care of you beforehand, to avert that stroke, to avert that heart attack, to make sure you're making better choices, and you're getting exercise, and you're getting necessary preventive care. We're a very reactive system, and as we move toward value, we move much more toward what we call population health, where there's a lot more emphasis on taking care of a population of people and making sure, you know, they're getting the kind of care that they need, they're getting the kind of prevention that they need, and that that the health system is rewarded for preventing the use of care as opposed to doing a really good job of providing it when it's needed.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so as you look at today or just recent past, like, what in your mind is an example of just a tragedy or just a poor experience that is ripe for revolution or innovation?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Like, you know, anytime people go to the doctor, they can come away with, like, you know, a dozen different things of what's wrong with healthcare. And I think most people realize that, you know, healthcare has lagged behind other industries where, you know, all of us, you know, use, you know, we can make restaurant reservations online and we can access all our financial records, but, you know, very few of us can actually make an appointment with our doctor online. And, you know, again, very few of us have access to our medical records online, the ability to share that information. You know, you can walk into any fast, you know, I can't remember the fast casual restaurant where they give you the little, yeah. They'll text you when your table is ready. I had this experience over the weekend. You know, I don't know anyone's ever walked into a doctor's office and said, hey, we'll text you when we're ready, right? and instead, like, you're going to wait around for some indeterminate amount of time. So even at the very basic service level, people don't experience it. And then more broadly, you know, for people to understand, you know, it's, you know, what's the right kind of care for me? What's the right, you know, who's the best surgeon if I need my knee operated on? How would I find that? Someone who has, you know, a lot of experience and doesn't charge too much and has a good bedside manner, the kind of way I want to relate to. I mean, we can easily find a restaurant or a hotel where we can base the, look at the cost, we look at the quality, we look at the social media experience around the ambiance, right, and make a decision. Can't do that in healthcare very well.
And that's the good news, actually, is that there's a lot of learned behavior already out there, right? Things that we've adopted and pushed for as consumers in other verticals, in other industries, that I think would plug right into having a better medical service experience.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we, you know, we think about is that you know, the needs of consumers haven't really changed, but their expectations have risen a lot. And, you know, as all of us have adopted, you know, smartphones and have access to whatever information we want anywhere, we're beginning to sort of layer that expectation on healthcare, because consumers really look at the experience they have, the service experience, as a proxy for quality. If you're not getting the level of service that you would expect, you begin to question the quality of the care being delivered.
So here's a meaty question. At the center of a lot of the technology that we use in other industries, let's say, whether that's real estate or ordering food or buying cars, we're sharing a lot of information about ourselves personally. And obviously the medical world information is much more sensitive. What do you think is the impact on that, and how, you know, what are consumers going to have to give up to get some of these better experiences, or do they have to give up privacy? Do you think we'll be able to manage that balance?
Yeah, so I mean, privacy is a big concern of individuals, and you know, healthcare has a lot of data that is actually very personal and very and something people do not want to share. But, you know, I think we're learning the lesson of other industries. We're seeing a lot of privacy breaches in financial services, the somewhat sad but comical breach of the Infidelity website that happened today. as an example, there's stuff out there about people they don't necessarily want to share with other people. And, you know, healthcare has to tackle the issue of how do you promote appropriate data sharing? How do you promote appropriate, not data ownership, but data stewardship? That, so everyone who's involved in handling healthcare information does so in an appropriate way, in a way that actually engenders confidence in individuals so that they will feel comfortable having the information there. I think one of the problems that we've had is that, you know, I think almost anyone you ask could talk about the downside of having their data shared in terms of privacy risk. Very few people understand the upside of being able to have your information available to a healthcare provider at the time that they need it, for you to be able to access information when you want to have it. You know, the simple things of, like, if you need to get care in a different city, or if you're traveling and you lose your luggage and you lost your medications, you know, can you retrieve your medication list remotely? Those sorts of things. Those kind of very, very simple use cases, but are really advantageous. And I don't think we as a healthcare industry and the government has done a great job of communicating those kind of benefits.
So I mean, it sounds like it's going to require a coordinated effort from many different players and at different altitudes, even in the ecosystem. Who's best position to dictate how this plays out then?
Well, you know, use a loaded word of dictate there, which sort of suggests that there's some almighty power that can make it work. It's really going to take a lot of cooperation among stakeholders. And unfortunately, it's going to be pretty complicated because, your health is actually made up only a small amount of the care you get. It's, you know, it's your genetics, which is one big thing. It's also the environment in which you live. But a big part of it is just the way you live, your lifestyle choices. And as we think about how to provide better care and better outcomes, new types of data become healthcare data. So the food you buy, you know, the kind of information that you'd get off your supermarket loyalty card, as an example, becomes very important. The purchases you make, the places you go, all of those relate to your health risk or your ultimate health outcome. So, you know, trying to have one organization sort of dictate how that information is going to be handled is going to be tricky. I think that what we're also going to have to deal with is we're going to need to give individuals some sort of granular control over their data, of what gets shared under what circumstances, but doing it in a way that it just doesn't discourage people from sharing in the first place. Say, you know, this is too complicated, forget it, I'm just going to opt out.
Yeah, it was a loaded question. I thought maybe the consumers themselves were going to be the ones that dictate, because it's tricky. It's like, where do you want that stored and how do you want it shared? It's going to be, I think, the two key things people need to adjust to.
Yeah, unfortunately, about consumers themselves is that, you know, we find that while there are you know, groups of consumers who are very, very engaged with their healthcare and want their information, the good majority of people are actually not that engaged, and you know, connecting with those folks is going to be a big issue.
Mm-hmm. And at the center of information sharing, of course, is trust. You alluded to that earlier. Like, you know, Sequoia spends a lot of time working with employers and obviously servicing their employees. From the lens of an employee, like, how does the trust equation break down?
Yeah, so, you know, I guess the other sort of bit of sad news is that when we survey consumers and we have our biannual survey of consumers, which we do globally, when you ask them who they would trust, you know, what third party for health information, really at the bottom of that level of trust is our employers along with payers and pharmaceutical companies. And I guess the unfortunate thing is that these three groups are often the ones providing the most health information to individuals on a regular basis. So,
isn't that ironic?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, we have corporate wellness programs and all sorts of fitness challenges and all these sort of things that are being driven by employers, which are being supported by the pharmaceutical industry, and you've also obviously have payers giving people a lot of information, and unfortunately there's very little trust in these folks. So, you know, one of the things we have to figure out is how can we more effectively partner with patients, with employees, with their families and others, in a way that again builds trust and shows that it's in their best interest. And I think one of the good things about this transition to value is that it begins to align interests better among individuals and employers and payers and providers, so that we have at least an environment where there's an opportunity to build more trust.
So that's really interesting. I think probably for information to get shared, you know, one of the big factors is also going to be the technology, both the hardware and the software that shares it. And so what do you see going on that front that is interesting and new and that you think will play a force as this matures?
It's a really exciting time in technology on two fronts. One is we've got, you know, on one hand, just about everyone in this country armed with a smartphone. Right, so you have a platform which really promotes the ready, accessible access to information. The other thing is we're also seeing an explosion of wearable devices, you know, biosensing wearables, moving well beyond sort of the activity monitors and step measure to things that can measure your electrolytes and the oxygen in your blood and your posture and on and on. So there are a lot of really interesting ways that we can, you know, both monitor people and get them connected to their health. I think one of the struggles would be, and then I guess the third part of that is that, you know, we also have much better analytics in the sense that you can bring data into the cloud, you can understand, you know, is this a concerning trend, is it a better trend, can you do more predictive modeling of things? So there's a lot of really good opportunities, and lots of different stakeholders are doing more and more on this front. One of the challenges right now is that most of this has been focused in the fitness and wellness space as opposed to the healthcare space. So, you know, what works for people in the gym is great, but the people who really need help are the sort of 5% of patients who are the sickest, who are running up 40-50% of the healthcare costs. Can we design these things in a way that makes it useful for those groups?
And is there something preventing that from happening, though?
Well, the big thing is preventing is fear of regulation, in the sense that many organizations are concerned that their biosensing wearable, I think, will be turned into a question of, is this a medical device? Can regulate it as a medical device, and therefore become much more complex to manage and to grow. And the FDA has provided guidance, but for many of these technology companies, the FDA is not an organization they're really used to dealing with, and that's that can be a frightening place to be, which is unfortunate because if they go beyond these sort of hurdles, that's where they can have a real impact on healthcare and on the people who really need it.
I wonder if they're starting to appreciate the impact this could roll and would develop some regulation or guidance for some of these wearables, because I think you're absolutely right. That information could be super key to saving lives, frankly, right?
Yeah, and for people to actually averting bad outcomes, and a lot of great things that can happen. And the FDA has provided some guidance, and the question is, will technology companies and frankly, will investors be willing to walk into that gray area of regulatory uncertainty?
The ER center is certainly a little more risky than the gym.
Right.
No doubt. Makes sense. So if you're listening to this podcast and you happen to be an executive or leader of HR people at a growing company, what is the role? Like, we talked a little bit about the trust issues. We talked about the investments, certainly, that employers make for their employees' health. Maybe there's a force to be played in terms of helping to advise the government. But what, on the individual level, maybe on a corporate level, what is, in your opinion, one of the roles that people should be thinking about?
Well, I think the challenge for folks in HR are going to be thinking about, what are the, these evolving needs of consumers along with evolving expectations? How can they, create plans and work with payers to create benefits that will, number one, deliver value to the employer, right? So they're actually getting good health care for their dollar, and also deliver good value and service to the employee, bearing in mind that as more costs are pushed onto employees, that they're going to be looking for greater value, but they're also going to need more tools. So, not only are the benefits going to be important, but also the tools that are going to be necessary to allow people to make better decisions to be key. I mean, a great example of this is that, for many conditions, the first decision someone makes will ultimately determine their outcome and the ultimate cost. So if you have neck pain, you could go see your primary care doctor, you could go see an orthopedic surgeon, you can go see a neurologist or a neurosurgeon or a chiropractor, a massage therapist, whatever, or decide not to do anything, kind of tough it out. Whichever decision you make at that point will ultimately determine what your ultimate cost and outcome will be. That's true for many, many conditions. And so we're going to need to, arm individuals with tools to make better decisions. Also, because consumers will have a lot more decisions. They can go to their local doctor. They can go to a center of excellence somewhere. They can go to another country and get care. Helping people make the right kind of decisions at the time they need it will be a real challenge for this industry, because these are types of tools that we really haven't had to have in place in the past.
That's great. So, Harry, where can people go to get some more information on this topic?
So at my center, we have a lot of information. They can go to deloitte.com/centerforhealthsolutions. For those on Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter at Harry Greenspun, so creatively chosen as a Twitter handle. So we put out a weekly newsletter. We put out I do a monthly webcast, and we have a bunch of publications we put out. Within those, we actually have a lot of links to external sources as well, on whether it's on health policy or issues around healthcare reform or new developments in the news. A lot of in my what I have in my Twitter feed are mainly things around, you know, interesting articles or developments that happen in healthcare. So it's a good way to stay current. Twitter really represents, you know, me professionally of the things that I'm reading or the things that I'm thinking about, as opposed to, you know, on Facebook, which is like me eating a turkey sandwich.
That's wonderful. I think both will be interesting to different parts of this audience.
Absolutely.
Now, there, and so to echo, I mean, you guys put out such great information, and a lot of it is very unique information because of the role you play at Deloitte and the role Deloitte's playing with guiding both policymakers and companies as they navigate this. So, Harry, again, I just want to thank you for your insights. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your commitment to trying to make life better for those of us who are, you know, going through this evolution of the healthcare system as consumers, and giving us a lot to think about. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time, your insights, and look forward to seeing you again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you again.